find which candidate for Carlisle. I'm famous if I'm, I've told a short story here, after Boston, before Howard. I apologise in advance if I repeat anything, because I've only heard half of Buster. I think that's BBC television trying to save money on bringing someone from another place and putting them in a hotel. I was here, so that's where I've been. Perhaps a few words of where I'm from might help. I'm a recovered heroin addict. I used heroin for 18 years. No cannabis, so plan goes the gateway theory there. Since recovery in 1981, I've worked with families and friends of drug users in Carlisle. I was a district councillor for the Labour Party for 13 years, expelled by the Labour Party a year ago, mainly because of my views on drug law reform. But the good news is that I can reapply in 10 years' time. And they're trying to tell us something. I was part of the Independence on Sunday campaign. I was really pissed off because I'm fed up of going to London every time that we go to a conference or a rally. So Leslie and I set up THC Therapeutic Health and Cannabis, and we tried quite hard to get a conference. Problem was, we couldn't get a speaker against, so we had to cancel it. So I sort of started out really as someone who spoke with Leslie and other people that I'd met at the Independence conference. But I very quickly realised that it's not good enough. I mean, if you're going to have reform on cannabis, then the only way forward is fully legalise it. So I first spoke to Alan when a by-election came up in Wigan. We had no problem getting the nomination papers signed because we still kept contact with some miners, ex-miners now of course, and they were fully prepared to put me up for the 3 weeks campaign and more than happy to sign the 10 nomination papers. Unfortunately, we got the timing a little bit wrong and I booked 2 weeks holiday. And it was while I was on a Greek island that my companion for the night at the dinner table said that Alan Clarke had died. Couldn't believe the luck here. Most of my drug taking, in fact, just about all of my drug taking, was in the Royal Borough. So it was an area that I knew. I suppose prodigal son in reverse. Left as a recovering heroin addict and going back as a prospective parliamentary candidate. And the bonus, of course, was Michael Portillo. Now, I've been a politician for a long time, and even before an active politician, I think I took numbers for the Labour Party when I was 14. And I'm not going to tell you how long ago that is. Read the election notes. But nonetheless, we went down actually on November the 5th. And we decided, because Paul Flynn was hoping to get his, I can't remember now whether it was a 10-minute rule bill or an early day motion. Anyway, it didn't happen. We left the demo to go to Portobello Road. No problem getting 10 signatures on the nomination papers. But there was plenty of people prepared to sign the nomination papers. And the problem is no one lives in Portobello Road. We tried Rasta shops, we tried everywhere. And that was a Friday. I returned back, and luckily enough, in the meantime, Gordon had decided to be my agent, so I had an agent in London, which trying to campaign from 300 miles away is not easy. So I went back again on the Monday, and it took us actually 2 days to get 10 signatures on the nomination papers. And I suppose you might think, well, good God, boring. It's not boring at all. It was a totally different kind of campaign. Sort of campaigning that I remember from my youth. I'm used to knocking on doors. I represented for 13 years a terraced house ward where it's dead easy to knock on doors and you know the person coming to the door is the person on the electoral register. You can't do that in Kensington, Chelsea. So Gordon and I took the long view and stood outside tube stations with leaflets. We had 50,000 leaflets going out on a mail drop, so we had 75,000 printed, which gave us 25,000 to hand out. And we thought, well, we can't stop people and ask if they live here. We can't stop and ask them if they're registered to vote. I don't know if you can imagine the electoral register for Kensington and Chelsea, it's like that. And it's totally different to any register I've ever seen before. It takes you 3 days to find out if the person's registered or not. But nonetheless, we took the view that if people weren't registered to vote, didn't live there, they were hopefully registered to vote somewhere else. So we had a presence, and they saw this. And the amount of people who would take it up the tape, you know, they'd walk past you, and suddenly return back, couldn't believe what we were seeing. And I think that out of the 6 to 7 days that I was able to get down there and campaign, we probably had two adverse reactions. Of course, don't get me wrong, we should be burned or worse to that effect for putting this thing through. And I've always had the belief that the life of an election address is the time it takes to get from the letterbox to the mat. But there was one that really worked. I'm told it was an old lady who really took offence at this canvas leaf coming through her door. So she ran the Evening Standard to complain about this. The editor of the London Diary immediately rang me for an interview. And what was even better, she said, are you going to be down here for the count? And of course I was. And she said, well, you better come to the Evening Standard Christmas party. It just happens to be the 3 hours before the count opens. Not an opportunity I was likely to miss when I was told that it would be a split between journalists and MPs. And so, in those 3 hours, I've got an address book full of contacts. And if anyone else is going to stand in the London area, please give me a ring. Some of them may surprise you. Part of the guest list for this party, it was split up between the Evening Standard and the Daily Mail. A real supporter of us, the Daily Mail. But I wish I knew the names of the people who were smoking cannabis in that room. The people who were writing derogatory articles the following day. And maybe the time will come, I'll meet them again and I will name names. Now, Alan's talked about result. And okay, less than 4%. 141 it was, by the way. Thanks for the extra vote. But I think the thing to look at is the fact that we were 8th out of 18. And some of these other 18 had been campaigning for quite some time. There was 3 Tory parties from the start off. But what it did for me, which is why I'm proud to be standing in Carlisle, is headlines like this. This is the sort of stuff I was getting in Carlisle. 2 front pages of the weekly paper, which is one of the biggest, the biggest circulation. The lead on board television, the regional television. The lead on Radio Cumbria. And again, not one adverse reaction. So I've got to be hopeful. Well, no, I'm not being hopeful. I know that we're going to save our deposit in Carlisle. And I know that Mark's going to, I don't know what Mark said, I apologise for missing your presentation. But I know full well that Mark will do the same in Penrith and the Border. And I think we're just one short. Are we one short now of completing Cumbria with candidates?
We've got another one
that's
arrived this afternoon,
so if we manage to get one in Copeland, yeah. We've covered the biggest covered the biggest county in the country. And it's Cumbria is a big county, but having said that, it's quite a big village really. And I think that because we're all determined that this is going to work, we will be working together and we will be telling the truth. Which is something that the rest of them won't be able to say. In the meantime, I was expelled from the Labour Party. Very, very quickly found a home in the Liberal Party. I am now the Liberal Party drug spokesperson. There's some copies of the policy, the Liberal Party policy, at the back. I'm going to say this, aren't I? I wrote it. It is absolutely anti-prohibition. And I think you'll agree on it. Quite a good endorsement from the chairman of the Liberal Party, who was behind us all the way. In fact, we have been looking at if there's a possibility of, dare I say, a joint candidature. I'm just not certain whether you can have a sunburst, which is the Liberal and the Communist League on the one. But it's certainly worth looking at. We cut the expenses down some more.
Why do you need to go over here?
Sorry?
Why do you need to go over here?
Yeah. So you can see that why I'm confident. I think that you may have noticed that we've got some problems in Carlisle. Not necessarily with cannabis, but a doctor has been charged with manslaughter. Five methadone users that he was being treated for the last year, which has absolutely caused chaos. Because what happened, the guy took himself out of the practice for, I think, 4 months or whatever. He had another 30 patients who were quite likely to be without a script. They've got a script now. Because I was prepared to go on television and demand that I had a debate with the director of public health, who gave me an assurance on television that they would get a script the next day. So we certainly got. You may notice that there was a cottage used in Cumbria as well for manufacturing amphetamine. And of course, Leslie. What can I say? I don't know what Sir Mark said about Leslie.
Not much.
Really? Right. It's up to reason, isn't it? I've every intention in the next. I don't know where everyone comes from, by the way, and I hope there are some novelists. I've just spoken to someone who, when he said where I was going to stand for, I told him, and he said, well, there's good people in Wales, isn't there? Within the next fortnight, I intend to go on the streets of Carlisle with a petition. We've got a situation here where Leslie's going to have this hung over for a year. I think it was almost bank holiday. Three policemen at the cost of something like
this.
How much would you gauge? Cost to do a surveillance when Leslie was in Holland? I don't know what they expected to happen. And then she had to wait a terrible long time, really, to hear from the CPS if it was in the public interest.
Was that covered in weed, was
it? Yeah. I'm the public and you're the public. Is it in your interest that Leslie's a.
Dangerous criminal.
So she had to go through that. I think when I spoke to Leslie's solicitor, he was expecting an answer in 3 weeks. It was near 6, 8, 9 weeks. And then the next hammer falls. Twice Leslie was refused legal aid. Can you imagine what that does to you? And then, out of the blue, 2 weeks ago, the chief constable of Cumbria, who is also the ACPO drugs chair, he got Halliwell's job after Halliwell got his 106 grand a year for doing nothing. And publicly makes a statement to say that he fully supports therapeutic use of cannabis, whatever that means. And no one in Cumbria believes that he's making a personal statement. He can't make a personal statement. He's the chief constable and he's also the chair of ACPO's drug. And so we've still got Leslie going. Got a cold? Because I think the last minute they tried to offer you a caution. Well done. We're all proud of you. So, this is the situation in Cumbria. And I will be standing for the local elections as a Liberal. And it doesn't really matter because you'll see the drug policy. And it's a way of testing the water, and I will win my seat back. I have great difficulty. I'd only just resigned from the Republic, expelled from the Labour Party. And we had boundary changes, which meant that instead of one councillor going up, it was three. So I was fighting three Tories and three Labour. God, I nearly said socialist, that would get me in trouble again. So, I will win the seat back. It is a district park, district council, so I don't really see anywhere I can get drugs on the agenda. Probably I can try. But it will be a springboard, unless, as Alan thinks, that Tony don't take the piss, is likely to call a snap general election, and that's almost a possibility, I suppose. He only has to give 3 weeks, which is going to make things a bit difficult for us. But we'll get there. And I'd recommend anyone to stand. It was the greatest fun that I've had at an election. It was wonderful. We went in there at 10 o'clock for the count. And it was a party atmosphere. There was 17 candidates all talking to each other or photographs taken with each other. And the witching hour, he came in. And he came, by God did he come in. He had about 5 miners, all about 7 foot. He had the same amount of police. But to get in, he had to go through this cordon outside the count. And God knows how many police were down there, because they were expecting Peter Thatcher. So God knows how much Peter Thatcher cost to, mind you, £500 deposit for 18 candidates. It can't be what they could afford it, no doubt. But once he came in, the atmosphere absolutely changed, completely changed. I had a friend with me that night who edits a drug user's newsletter, and she walked straight up to him and said, can I have your opinion on current drug policy? And he turned on his heel, he sent his minder over to tell her that it was late at night, he didn't want to discuss this, and he didn't have an opinion on it, and walked away. So we may not have got the vote, but I would say we won the argument. That's it.